Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Trupanion Medical Insurance for the life of your pet is a proud sponsor of Pure Dog Talk. Trupanion invites you to sign up for their breeder support program. This program allows breeders to provide their buyers with special offers to help protect the puppy in the event of any unexpected accidents or illnesses as they transition to their new home. By clicking the link on my partner page, you can join the program today. Additionally, Trupanion will provide you with informational materials for your puppy kits, and they'll offer one-on-one support, all at no cost to you. Sign up at the partner page today and mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. And we are here, oddly enough, at episode 300. Hey. Holy hot dogs, Batman. Episode 300? Like, how did that happen? Time definitely flies when you're having fun. So, honestly, a year ago, I wasn't at all sure I'd make it this far. I'd just taken on sole ownership and management of Pure Dog Talk. I was running the show out of my very own, very shallow pockets. And frankly, I was scared to death. The fact that I decided to retire from a 25-year-long professional handling career and start a year-long, enormous home remodeling project and take this on full-time, pretty much all in the same month, yeah, that speaks to either courage or sanity. Sort of depends on your perspective. So there you go. Hindsight being what it is, I probably could have managed this a little bit more smoothly, but the gods are kind to crazy people. So today, the patron support is growing steadily. I have a huge shout out to those of you who supported the show early and faithfully. You literally are the reason there is a podcast today. I'd love to have even more of you guys join our outstanding community of Pure Dog Talk patrons. For as little as $5 a month, you too can be counted as supporters of great content and education for the entire purebred dog fancy. I mean, come on. You pay $5 for a cup of coffee daily. $5 a month, I bet you can do it. So come on, join us. These funds are earmarked exclusively for operating expenses. Okay, so website upgrades and all that sort of fun stuff are on the list when the pot of gold grows just a little bit more. So click the Be My Patron on Podbean button that's on the homepage at www.puredogtalk.com. In the last year, I've also released the audiobook, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks, as an additional fundraiser and also as an educational resource to share with folks who aren't as technically savvy as you, my faithful listeners. You can just click the book's cover art, also on the website right side banner, and order online. Now that's tricky doodle, just saying. But most importantly, I have incorporated the support of two outstanding sponsors just in the last few months, and Trupanion and Petmate really deserve a tremendous shout out. These companies are devoted to providing outstanding products and services to purebred dog enthusiasts. And they're proving that with the commitment by supporting this educational platform. I hope you guys will take a minute to thank them personally. It is only, and I do mean only, with the help of companies like this that Pure Dog Talk will continue to grow and thrive. And if you know any more organizations who'd like to get the word out about their products or services and support great content, send them my way. Let's share the love, shall we? Meanwhile, we do have another very exciting and very cool partnership to announce in the very near future. Yeah, this is a tease. Watch this space. So with all that business stuff out of the way, here's the thing. I love doing this job. I love it. It not only combines my passions, dogs, talking about dogs, and helping people, but I literally learn something every single day. So what's our teaching moment for today? This podcast is a perfect metaphor for your life in dogs. And how is that, you say? Check this out. Number one, follow your passion. It's the truth. Number two, take chances, even when they are really, really super scary. Number three, seek and find the positive in every single day, even when you have to dig for it. Maybe even especially when you have to dig for it, right? And while I'm not a fan of absolutes, here's the thing. Nothing worthwhile is going to be handed to you on a silver platter. And I hate this word. Nothing is deserved. We don't deserve anything other than kindness. Everything we accomplish in life is earned. And if we earn it, we deserve to acquire the results of our hard work. But that is about the only deserve there is. Competition, even from the really big guns, makes you better, makes you sharper, makes you tougher. Doing well and doing good are not incompatible. You can do both of those things. Helping others does as much or more, really as much or more, for you as it does for them. Kindness is free, kids. Sprinkle that shit everywhere. It really is okay to be nice to everyone for no better reason than you can. Now, as soon as you say, I can't do this stuff, stop a minute. Think about it. I did it. I had some pretty significant obstacles along the way. Literally, if I can do it, I guarantee you can do it too. So back in the day, before I had a twice-weekly podcast, I had a weekly magazine column called As the Wheels Turn. So I thought it might be fun to have a little throwback Thursday, as it were, to celebrate moving forward. First up, peace, love, and a favor for a friend. A friend of mine, young handler friend of mine, said to me recently, when I first started, I was amazed by this whole trading favors system. Her comment sort of caught me off guard and startled me a little bit. And it got me thinking about the very unique and worthy tradition in the sport of purebred dogs and confirmation dog shows. There is such a thing that says, you know, you show my dog and I get paid for it. Like, what's that about, right? What other job has that as a thing? I mean, it's not like I can go sing somebody else's concert, right? So it's not a secret by any means in the tribe of professional handlers, but it is a quiet reality. We all help each other. That's how we get through the day. It's part of our sort of unwritten code of ethics. Conflicts frequently require covering, and an assistant, as good as they may be, is not always available or the right person for the job. So enter the world of professional handlers and their network of friends and acquaintances that they can trust to help show the dogs on their string. And the notorious hat in hand look when somebody or other shows up at your setup at 7:15 saying, so what do you have at 8 o'clock this morning? Or 9:15 or 10:30 or whatever it is. And there's this frantic arm wave that we're all very familiar with from a ring, and that's, you know, the judge is running long and you're walking by and someone sort of frantically says to you, could you please go take that dog in? I'll try and make it. And if you're able, you do it, and you do it gladly, so that when you have a giant cluster the next day or the next week or the next month, you have favors sort of in the bank. And that's how this system works. And there's some other additional unwritten rules that go with this process. First amongst them, don't hand off a problem dog. I once, as a young handler, had another professional handler hand me a very spooky Dalmatian and say, here, go show this. And so I did, and the dog crawled up underneath my skirt during the exam and was promptly excused. And that doesn't make me look good, and it's not the way to, as they say, win friends and influence people. Number two, give fair value. If you need help, be sure to offer help to somebody else. What goes around really does come back around, good or bad. Number three, this is very important. Don't hustle your friend's clients. And on the flip side, keep in mind that if you hand off their dogs too often, your clients may go looking for a new handler. So that's kind of a balancing act there. For the clients out there, try to be fair and reasonable with your handler. You hired them to do the best for your dog. Trust them. Trust their knowledge and their experience and let them do their job. As much as most of us have longed to be cloned many times, it hasn't happened yet, and we can only be in one place at one time. Okay, here's another throwback Thursday for you. Table training. This falls under the category of handling tips, frequently asked questions. Summer solstice has arrived. We have long hours of daylight and a lot of bored kids. And dog shows are around every corner in every state in the nation. It's time to tune up Fido, as it were, load the wagon, and head for a fairgrounds near you. And one of the things that we haven't talked a lot about, even here on the podcast, is working with table dogs. But this also applies to teaching large breed puppies, sort of the fundamentals of stacking. So as an aside, funny story, when I was a kid, growing up with dogs, my family never invested in a thing called a grooming table. I groomed dogs on the ground. I taught puppies and dogs to stack on the ground. I spent a lot of time on my hands and knees. I bought my very first grooming table when I started showing dogs for other people. I showed large and giant breeds, and it just, that was not small breeds, toy dog breeds, table breeds. They were not what I showed. I showed big dogs. And the first time I ever put a dog on a table to be examined in the ring was while helping Don Rogers, may he rest in peace, and Pat with about a gazillion Shih Tzu at one of the, summer Idaho Death March shows. This was well over a quarter of a century ago, and it emblazoned in my psyche for life, this instance. I'd been assigned a black Shih Tzu, which, as I've come to learn, is a bit of an uphill battle to start with, and we were showing to Joe Tacker. The wind was blowing, as it always does there in Idaho, and I thought I'd be so smart and face the dog into the wind. Which, P.S., was backwards. Mr. Tacker turned around from the previous dog, approached the table, looked at the dog, looked up at me, and said, "I bet you didn't think I knew which end was which." Yeah. To which I responded in absolute mortification, "Oh, I knew they paid you the big bucks for some reason," and flipped the dog around to face the proper way. Oh, dear God. I still am sure that I have the scars from the daggers that Don was staring into my back. I did manage to get reserve winner's dog, but my humiliation was complete, and it took many years before I next attempted a table breed. Oh, yeah. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know, I promised I was never going to sing again, but I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Whoop, yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight-line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included, because shipping is free. That's on me. And I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more, and this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow. The last 15 years or so of my handling career, I did take on toy breeds and table dogs, and I learned and improved my skills. I have found two methods that work pretty well for me, just sort of depending on the personality and the temperament of the dog I'm training. The first one I call You Can't Touch This. This works really well for those sort of independent, all about me, I got this little dogs that really prefer the DIY method. And so you sort of use the technique that we've talked about walking the dog up into the stack. And you put the dog at the back of the table and let them walk up into it. Looks very impressive when you get it down pat and the dog understands what it's doing. Requires a lot of confidence from both you and the dog. At best, if they can get it right, all you'll have to do is fix a foot. The disadvantage, of course, is if you don't practice and get good at this, the dog may not be properly stacked in a timely manner, and you're left juggling with stacking while the judge watches. So practice makes perfect. If you're doing this, watch the judge's preferred table procedure in advance. Very important. Everybody does it just a little bit differently. Generally, the dog is placed on the table as the dog before is moving in its individual pattern. If the judge wants to do it differently, you need to be aware of that. So then the next one we have, I call the Scary Larry. This works really well for those, you know, unsure, less confident, shy, whatever, naughty, rambunctious, anything in between. Pick the dog up in a comfortable position, obviously support the dog. Make sure the leash is properly out of the way and around your neck. Took me years to make sure I put it the right way and not backwards, so I was trying to hang myself when I took it off. Genius. Check the table steady. Make sure if you're a junior showmanship person, always check the table before you put your dog on it. Always. It is part of junior showmanship 101. If the table is steady, then you quietly set the dog down, lift him up gently, sort of under the chin and between the back legs, and place it down squarely towards the front of the table, the judge's side of the front of the table, where the judge can easily reach him. And then you do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that we've talked about in how to stack your dog, and put the feet and get the dog in the right place and do your presentation. Okay, one little caveat on all of this, Cookie Monster. Yeah, I avoid feeding dogs on the table, if it's at all possible. Just like feeding a dog on the ground before the exam, it sets a bad precedent for that dog to look for food from the hand that's coming toward him. For those dogs who are particularly food motivated, grab first and ask questions later can have sort of unpleasant consequences when it's the judge's hand that's grabbed, if you know what I mean. So, shazam! Table presentation, just like it's equal on the ground, can vary pretty distinctly between handlers and their charges. From standing in front of a dog at the end of a long leash to standing beside the dog, sort of showcasing the head. Practice. Try new stuff and then practice it some more. Make sure that you're ready when you get to the ring. This is something that you can do at home. There's no excuse to not have this ready to go when you get to the dog show. And for our final Throwback Thursday installation, hot dogs, hot shows, and hot travel. And we're coming up on July, and this is a big deal, folks, so pay attention. I am a fanatic. I'm a nutball about servicing my dog vehicles. I change the oil, and I do the maintenance, and if anything goes clunk, I run for the mechanic. Vehicle trouble when you're traveling with dogs is a major liability, and I avoid it like the plague. Over the years, I've dealt with the occasional, you know, blown tire and a dead battery and wear and tear items. But generally, rigid service schedule and my grandmother, my mother, my father, all the platoon of guardian angels It is normally a pretty minor headache rather than a huge crisis. And I was probably overdue for a major fail, just by the law of averages, and this happened a couple years ago. I was 3 hours from anybody I knew who could possibly come rescue the dogs and I, in the middle of literally nowhere, on a day that the temperatures went up over 100 degrees, well over 100 degrees. And when your vehicle is dead beside the freeway, you have to have preparation, you have to have roadside assistance, and frankly, you need all the good juju you can get. The Sprinter van I drove was equipped with heavy-duty insulation, had a roof-mounted AC unit, had a roof fan, had a vent, and even with very proactive and insistent advocacy on my part with the towing company, the dogs and I sat for better part of 2 hours, all the doors and windows open and staying as cool as we possibly could before the tow truck got there. And it turned out a faulty wire on an alternator that had been installed 2 years ago was the problem. But here's the lesson. I was sure there couldn't have been anything possibly wrong with that vehicle. I just had it serviced like a couple weeks before. And that flashing light was obviously wrong. Well, guess what? It wasn't wrong. It's better to be safe than sorry is a truism because, you know what? It's true. I was very fortunate. We have an amazing tribe of dog people that came through with dozens of offers of help, and even for driving 3 hours each way, if that was what was needed. And eventually somebody let me crash at their place for the night and get the dogs out. The bottom line on all of this is to remind us that none of us is immune to the inherent dangers and risks of long hours on the road, no matter how diligent, how young and virile, how shielded by angels. Every single time we take our dogs to the next venue, we need to be aware and prepared. As we all get ready for these hot summer months and super long hauls from point A to point B and not very much sleep and exhausting days and unending nights on the road, here's some things that I recommend that are literally life-saving. Always, always, always have water in your vehicle. Never leave home without it. A gallon of water per dog is what you need to have on hand. Shade. Whatever your preferred shade cloth is, make sure it's accessible if you are in an emergency. Don't pack your van so full that you can't get to the things you need when you need them in a hurry. Airflow. We and our dogs can all survive high temperatures, maybe not perfectly comfortable, but without life and death concerns, as long as we have sufficient airflow. Crate fans, roof fans, vents, windows, whatever it takes, keep the air moving. Dog crates. Shout out Petmate. Dog crates are our friends. My mother was nearly killed in a horrific car accident over 25 years ago now. She had four puppies with her that were on the way to the vet for health certificates. All four of them were safe and unhurt entirely and totally due to traveling in dog crates. If you're in an emergency, your dog in a crate is the safest place it can be. Period. Here's another one. Calm. A quiet dog that isn't stressed out by the situation is going to handle the heat a whole lot better. And remember, our dogs take their lead from us. If we're hysterical, I guarantee you the dogs are going to feel that stress and they're going to be in a lot more danger. My final word on this topic, never. Capital N, capital E, capital V, capital E, capital R. Never trust a generator or even an electrical outlet to run your air conditioning. If it is hot, don't leave the dogs. Just don't leave the dogs. Far too many horrible scenes over the years could have been prevented with this single, simple precaution. The lesson was drilled into me the hard way many years ago. My generator on the RV quit during a high elevation dog show in Colorado. I was at the group ring. I was over half a mile away from my RV, and the dogs were okay. But it could just as easily have gone the other way if I had doodle-dicked my way back, if I stopped to chit-chat, if I didn't have a window cracked, all of those things. Today, we have temperature monitoring devices that will call your phone with alerts. And these are invaluable for short trips, but absolutely nothing replaces the peace of mind of being with the dogs. Stay cool, stay hydrated, friends. Let's keep ourselves and our dogs safe this summer. Plan a water fight on the grounds. Dress sensibly. And always remember, always, no ribbon is ever more important than your dog's safety. Peace out, folks. Have a great summer, and thanks for joining us all the way through number 300. It's crazy. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.